Blog Talk Radio. Greetings and welcome. Alafia, and thank you for joining us here at Care to Read. You got your only Ether 7 in the house, your advisor, the one you need, and your advocate, the one you want. We'd like to welcome you this evening for joining us in another segment of health education. This evening we have for you the topic of health education and looking at what are kids really getting from education? What are they really getting from the education system? And I'd like to also just regroup a little bit and go over the topics that we've covered so far under this topic. We have looked at conscious-based education, trying to find out what programs and curriculums would be best served in the classroom. We looked at Maharishi Yogi's curriculum under conscious-based education with a transcendental meditation. We covered that topic yesterday. And before we do anything and go any further in this class, where we always stop to acknowledge our ancestors. And I said I was going to slow the road down a little bit because there is some traditional things you must know, ladies and gentlemen, that when you're doing the complete libation ceremony, there is a calling out of the ancestors' names, specifically of those heroes and sheroes that we aspire to remember and to keep their names alive, in addition to our own personal ancestors. And I'd like to stop today to do that because I know it's very important. I know it's important that you should understand that libation ceremonies are done in a certain fashion. And I'm going to ask my co-assistants to help and come and purify me. Terrell, would you please purify me? Thank you very much. And as I clean my hands with the water and become purified, I then can go into the ceremonies. But before I do anything, I want to look to my right and to my left to see that my elders are situated there and ask permission from them to speak as a neophyte, as an uninitiate, because I know they must help initiate those candidates who are still in training. So they're giving me the nod. They're saying Ashe, and Ashe means to go ahead and support, meaning yes, so be it, so let it be done. And they're giving me that nod. And as I prepare this ritual for this segment, I am preparing the candle to sit out front there, which I will have as a light to guide my way. I am also getting the water that has been purified. My co-host has set aside the water here, and I have some type of plant that I can pour the libations into. And as I begin to pour the libation, I call out the names of the ancestors, of the heroes and sheroes that I'd like to acknowledge. And as I call those names out, in the audience, normally we hear the sound of Ashe. So I'm going to act out that role of the Ashe so you can hear that particular part. And as I go on, I will go on and call off the names. Booker T. Washington, Ashe. Dr. Carter G. Woodson, Ashe. Dr. Charles Drew, Ashe. Colin Powell. He is not one of our ancestors. I don't know why that's on there. I'd like to make a correction here. I'd like to also say Harriet Tubman, Ashe. Jackie Robinson, Ashe, and Langston Hughes, Ashe, Leontine Price, Ashe. And as I go on to name the one ancestor that we talked about yesterday, Zora Neale Hurston, Ashe. Now, I'd like to stop at that particular point and let you know that you have to have personal ancestors, too, that you call out. And I'm going to call my mother and father's name out today. I call Robert Jenkins, Ashe. Clara Mae Jenkins, Ashe. Eugene Lilly, Ashe. Tommy Pete Harvey, Ashe. Mary Lou Hawkins, Ashe. Marvin Jenkins, Ashe. Robert Jenkins, Ashe. Ruby Lee Bracken, Ashe. And as we call forth those names, we ask those ancestors to come and to bring their melanin present in this room, that we might be able to tap into their consciousness of the melanin frequency that they've left behind. We thank you, ancestors, that you have always opened up the way to make it plain and clear for us. We thank you for lending us your eyeshade today. We thank you for being in this room. We ask that you would elevate us to the level that we will be pleasing and that our character will be Iwa Pelu, good character and good conduct. We thank you for the opportunities, and I call on my Ori today, because if I have any good success, I know it's because of the Ori that has gone all the way with me, and I should pay homage to my Ori. My head is Obatala, my father's spirit, and my mother's spirit is Yamenja. I pay homage to those spirits today that they may be present here in this room and they may forevermore be happy with the work I do. I pour libations to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And I say, Ashe, Ashe. So let it be, so let it be done. I'd like to go on to read to you a little bit about the Yoruba teaching. In any discussion of character development, the Yoruba will undoubtedly make some reference to the Orishas, and I'm going to do that today. This great Orisha is father to all Yoruba deities. And this lofty position, Obatala, is one of the Orishas. As Obatala is called in America, Cuba, and Trinidad, is most concerned about character, ladies and gentlemen, for it is Obatala who represents the norm of ethical purity. Ewa is Yoruba word meaning character. We believe character to be that special human quality that is pleasing to God. We understand that the acquisition of character is the domain of the future of a person's life. Good character, consequences, it distinguishes us from other people. Good character distinguishes you from the ignorance and of the stupid. That is what separates you, ladies and gentlemen. At the Yoruba African village, we say, Ashe, so let it be done, so let it be unto you. We say, Una, we, in English, this may mean an act of the person. He acts the person. This means you must show your life and personal relations the right quality of the opposite person, we say, Kia Shina. Kia Shina is the opposite person. And that's translation of this is, he is not a person. He merely resumes the skin of a person, meaning that person is acting out of character. Thus far, we may summarize that this is increasingly a spirituality to be socially worthy. Good character is a must, and good conduct. Several of the Odu speak of the importance of having good character. The Odus are sacred scriptures used by the Yoruba priest, which is read by the Yoruba priest as well, and interpreted by the Yoruba priest. The Odus are read periodically, and we are reminded of the Odus. Good character side is what we want to look for in handling our behavior, so that we can have a good lifestyle. The Odus are definitely something that needs to be looked into and read periodically. Okay? And destiny married Iwa character in order to succeed in life. That was necessary. Now, I won't go into any further detail, but 10 sacred specific traits of good character are, and I like to read those. They're composed of traditions and practices of our people, and they are chastity, number one. Number two, hospitality. Number three, unselfishness. Number four, kindness. Number five, truth and gratitude. Number six, respect for elders. Number seven, do not be wicked. Number eight, do not steal. Number nine, do not break oath. Number 10, do not be hypocritical. We now wish you the fruits of Ikun Iwa, good character and good conduct, Iwakelu. It is important that we use the African tongue and the language of the Yoruba language so that some of the prayers can be heard by the ancestors. And when time will permit, I will teach more on the language and on the prayers that are read in Yoruba. However, at this time, we will not be going into the deeper part of the prayers, but I would like to say one thing to you. I mentioned Obatala. He is an Orisha. He is the father of the Orishas, Orishas who are kin to the clay, the Orisha who owns the best clay, I might add, the Orisha who causes man to live, he who proposes disposes. He's one of the great Orishas, the ancient king, the father of fathers, the gray barrier, the huge Orisha, the king who is great, the king in white clothing, he who sheds over the whole extent of the earth. The prosper, he is a deputy of the Oladulama Ray, and we talked about Oladulama Ray and explaining the trinity of Oladulama Re, Elede, Ile, meaning the trinity. Now, as I teach you those things, go and research for yourself. Go and find out more about the Yoruba teachings. But it's definitely necessary that I would employ you today to give you those things. Now, getting back on our subject for today, our subject is, what are kids really getting from their education? And conscious-based education, is it the missing link? And improving academic achievement, how do we do that in preventing and treating stress, anxiety, depression, and learning disabilities in the classroom? How does a student get through the system, and what does he hope to obtain from his education? We will be looking at those topics, but right now I'd like to go to commercial. And I'd like to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for lending me your airwaves. And I would like to give you an opportunity to call in on that number, 646-478-0270. And if you will pause with us while we go to commercial, and we'll be right back at you in the air. Listen to A Chief.
A Chief and Not an Indian, read by the author Omika Garth. Born of the Blackfoot Indian tribe, one of the real reasons why I still survive, to those with opinions who wonder why I choose to be a chief and not an Indian, for I'm tribal, you see. My destiny was soon to be foretold, of the prophecy to be unfold, of a leader to come, and a real gift, even to some, raised around the circle of the tree of life, with a dream catcher used as a device. This is why I choose to be a chief and not an Indian. It was a vision of a leader to come and a real gift, even to some, with the child at the center of the family's link. This was one of the tools used to keep our leader in sync. Raised in a tribe of 18 with 8 chiefs and 10 Indians. And if you're wondering where the 8th chief arrived, it's no real surprise, for I'm the real leader of the pack, with all 10 Indians who've got my back. This is why I choose to be a chief and not an Indian. It was a vision of a leader to come and a real gift even to some. Why, Mama made her transition when I was just 2. There was nothing left for me to do but to lead my people into the underground steeple. Why, one of the traits of a real chief is to take charge against those who would barge. by consulting the oracles for spiritual instructions in order to avoid chaos and disruption. Like gods and goddesses, they do this. Like kings and queens, they do too. Like priests and priestesses, they all do it too. Cast lots to determine their spots. This is why I choose to be a chief and not an Indian. It was a vision of a leader to come and a real gift even to some. You see, a chief know their place, so back up and get out of my space. Don't try playing me for no Indian, acting like you're smoking on the peace pipe of indigo. I'm calling you out like a real chief. I aim to take back what was mine, you thief. Oh, and if you're still wondering why I choose to be a chief and not an Indian, just check the history books. Why, it's no real mystery. For centuries, you have desecrated our land, forfeited God's plan for man, called us out of our name, left us feeling shame, stole our language, then pushed us into anguish, attempted to render us mute. That's when we had to hit you with a suit. Took us to a level of deprivation, which led us to call for reparation. You stole from a chief, you dirty thief. Now I'm going to leave you in your grief.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today here in the Curator Read Room. Our featured book for this evening is the book entitled Rosa by Nikki Giovanni, illustrated by Brian Kohler. This is a beautiful illustrated book, ladies and gentlemen, one of my favorite. Nikki Giovanni does an excellent job in spelling out Rosa Parks' life and a little bit about her background as she was growing up, a teenager, and as she went into adulthood, and what transpired this great act of her sitting down on the bus refusing to get up. Nikki Giovanni is one of my sorority sisters. I had a chance to meet her in person and to purchase this book. I was very intrigued by her nationalism and her position on life for African Americans and her zeal for life, even at the elderly age, and why she writes about circumstances. And her poetry has been an inspiration to me. It has helped me to write conscious poetry and about situations that need to be addressed. I fight with my words through poetry, as you notice. I sound like a warrior. What I was doing was fighting for military women who were going through litigation. I happened to be their class agent and had to stand up to a whole universe, and I had the weight of the world on my shoulder, so I couldn't show that in the meeting, so I had to show that in my words through poetry. Nikki Giovanni has been a great inspiration to me. Now, this book, Nikki Giovanni writes many collections of poetry she's written, but this particular book that she decided to put together, it was supposed to be sort of her rendition. It is an Apcott book, ladies and gentlemen, meaning that it's an honored book. It's a Calcott, meaning that they have put a seal on this book, and it is set aside as one of these honored books. You should go out and get this book and read it to your children. I'm sure they will enjoy it, along with Zora Neale Hurston's book, which we are going to be featuring in one of our chat rooms, talking about detailed information about how to understand her literary writing in folklore. Now, once again, back on the subject, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for lending me your airways. Thank you for allowing me to come into your living room and borrowing your atmosphere for this hour. Once again, our topic, we are a family and consumer science education program, and as I say all the time that we're underwritten by Project 2019, I like to offer a disclaimer. Our program, it comes out of Chicago, Illinois, from Chuck Sanford. Chuck Sanford is the founder of the organization. I just happen to be a chapter president here in Indiana. I like to offer a disclaimer in talking about closing the gap of education. I do not hold the concept that you only can obtain education through going through traditional colleges and getting a bachelor's degree, because I do administer non-traditional training in helping women who don't have bachelor's degrees obtain credentials without having to go the traditional route. And I do feel that internships and training is available for people who don't have the tenacity or the aptitude to go off to college. That is not the only way to learn, and I don't hold that particular value and belief. I believe that the things that are commissioned in Project 2019 about it, obtaining knowledge, you can obtain knowledge anywhere. It doesn't have to be from an institution. It could be right in your living room. And some of those people that are self-taught out there, they have learned that way, such as Dr. Seavey and many other young men who have gotten their education from tutelages, from sitting under the feet, the blessed feet of some of their leaders. Now that I got that out of the way, so please don't hold that against me that when I say closing the gap, I don't mean everybody will go to college. I mean closing the gap of reading. We all should be able to be literate. That point I will not let you get away with. I am definitely pushing the point of becoming literate and having good literature in your home and reading. Everybody has the right and deserves to be literate, irregardless if you ever go to college. Now that I've got that out of the way, I got that little thing off my shoulder. I'm feeling a lot better now. Now we can go on. Thank you very much. Just a little humor on a Tuesday evening. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you once again for being a part of my show. I do appreciate you and do admonish those guests out there that are listening in to become my friend and sign up. I won't bite. Just come on in and pose your questions, raise your hands. I definitely will acknowledge your questions and answer you. Now, once again, the question, what are kids really getting from their education? I'd like to read you a little something here that comes out of a newsletter called Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. It was written by the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise Committee, Dr. John Hagelin. He's the founder of the U.S. Peace Government, the Quantum Physics Real Life Lesson. Kind of heavy. Anyway, I'd like to read you something that he's written here. And this article was written by Chris Arkwood, giving credit to where it's due. Development of consciousness is key to learning, he writes. Remember when you were sitting in school taking chemistry or physics or English lit or other classes and wondering, what does this have to do with me? Kids take class because they're told to do so. After all, education is a good thing, right, right, right. So they go on to school as they're told. And they know how important it is to get a good grade, to go to college and get a good job. Now let me stop right there. Some of us have gotten good grades and really worked hard and become disillusioned by school. Not only high school, but college as well. Some of them that are very intelligent found that it didn't work for them, and they had to resort to homeschool. We're going to read out a little bit more about that. We got a person in the listening audience going to help us out with that. Now, okay, kids take classes because we tell them, and after all, education is a good thing, as we said. If they're good at analytical learning and as good at taking tests, good at following the rules, that they get good grades, get accepted into college, and may or may not get a good job, or they may go on to graduate school, and when their studies require, they become increasingly specialized. They discover themselves knowing more and more about less and less. Less and less, ladies and gentlemen. If they're brilliant as synthetic learning and artistic and are primarily kinesthetic learners. What do I mean by kinesthetic learners? I mean hands-on, indulging with hands-on, feeling with their antennas on their hand, letting their hair engage them with the little antennas on it. That's kinesthetic. And learning, and if they're learning through this kinesthetic style, or if they may go on to graduate school, like I said, they discover themselves knowing more and more and less. And if they're brilliant, synthetic learners, okay, and artistically inclined, and are primarily kinesthetic learners, as I said, learning through experiences, they're probably getting really poor grades in school and feel terribly about themselves and find that they are just don't fit in. Whatever the situation, these kids at some point began to wonder, what am I doing all this for? What is it all about, ladies and gentlemen? What are the kids really getting education for? Traditionally, education has focused on primarily on what students study, reading, writing, arithmetic, and then as the students get older, chemistry, physics, algebra, geography, social studies, and so on, et cetera, et cetera. The focus is always outward. Education has focused on teaching students about something which is outside of themselves, with little or no attention on the student themselves, searching on the inside. Garnt put that in there. Reinventing education is what we're going to have to do, ladies and gentlemen, in order to satisfy our children as well as some of the parents. In the past, education has failed to even consider how to develop the student's capacity to learn, the inner awareness of themselves and their relationship to the world around them. Yet it is the quality of students' consciousness or awareness that determines how well they learn, isn't it? Their degree of intelligence, perhaps, creativity, confidence, inner calm, and motivation, all fundamentals to their ability to comprehend and absorb knowledge. It's been said that most of us use only 10% of our full mental capacity. Could that have something to do with the nature of the education we receive? Of course it could. Research has shown that electrical activities of the brain in the most adults does not activate the entire brain. Such activities is involved and monosynchronous between different parts of the brain. On the other hand, increased coherence and synchronums between different parts of the brain has been correlated with increased intelligence, creativity, and reasoning ability. The question is, how can education efficiently develop whole brain functioning in children so that they are able to use 100% of their mental capacity? How is it, ladies and gentlemen? What can we do so that our children are fully engaged? Well, it goes on to say in the article, the relationship of brain development to education, a large body of research reveals that the development and ongoing state of brain functioning is shaped by the nature of the individual's experience. Research on brain development shows that specific types of experiences are necessary for the brain to develop properly, ladies and gentlemen. For example, here's my case in point. In the early stages of life, sensory experiences are critical for the development of corresponding sensory structures of the brain. It has also been found that enriched sensory and motor involvement in infancy contributes to the significant enhanced development of the brain. Brain development is thus intimidated and connected with experiences. From this perception, the purpose of education, including early education in the family, is to provide the appropriate experiences at every stage of growth, to provide appropriate education at every experience of life, at every stage of growth that develops the full potential of mind and body based on fully developing the brain. Analyzing the process of human brain development is useful in understanding the type of educational experience that are especially important at different stages of growth. Now, he goes on to say educational experiences should promote brain development. Let's see why. Even if education in the past has not attended to the process of the brain development in childhood, they have selected learning experiences that suit the state of the sensory motor and the cognitive development of the child and the school children. In so doing, they have been selecting experiences more suitable for the student's current state of brain development. Unfortunately, education has not included a systematic means to directly promote integrated brain functioning. Rather, from middle school onward, education primarily exercises the individual logical reasoning ability in relations to specific body of knowledge, limiting the educational experiences of the student only to continue experiences of their reasoning skills is not sufficient to develop the brain potential and to unfold the higher integration of brain functioning, ladies and gentlemen. As a result, secondary and higher education have failed in systematically developing the higher brain functioning that is associated with higher cognitive development. So what is the solution? He asks. What is the solution? He writes, conscious-based education. Education which focuses on development of the student's capacity to learn. Development of the student's own inner awareness has been called conscious-based education, ladies and gentlemen, which is what we've been talking about. This approach is education has been pioneered by Maharishi University of Management. And he goes on to say, conscious-based education focuses first on development of holistic brain functioning by training students in methods which have been scientifically proven to allow students to experience the full potential of their own consciousness. The foundation of consciousness-based education is the natural and effortless transcendental meditation, he adds, program, which develops students' inner potential. Extensive research on the TM program has shown that the program strengthens cognitive, psychological, and affective foundation of learning while promoting healthier lifestyles, which is the choice and positive behavior. At the same time, regular practice of the technique and the significance reduce the stress and the tension that many students and teachers experience daily and cuts down the creativity of the happy, harmonious, focused, and learning environment. Of course, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. How do students who have had the benefits of conscious-based education fare in the world? Well, I tell you, I think that they are probably at the top of their class, I would be willing to believe. However, we don't have those students here to focus in on that, but we are going to invite an African-American male to our discussion and get him involved in his education and the experience that he has had through the public school and the private sector and get his opinion on what he believes to be true. And I'm going to ask him some questions about his experience and when he first entered public school, what was it like? How did he fare in at school? What were some of the circumstances engaged around learning? Was it an easy, friendly, user-friendly school system? Or did he encounter many frustrated problems throughout the day with behavior problems, constant behavior management, sending children out to the office, disruption of learning? Or did he experience a smooth sailing of transition of learning? And how was the public school different from the private setting? And as a black male, is education administered any differently? And I'm going to bring him on, and his name is Terrell Garth, and he is going to be featured as one of our experts in talking about school and what it does for you and what is the purpose of it.
Yes, hello? Yes. Well, the purpose of the that I've seen between going to public schools and private schools, that the public school was very overcrowded. Teachers really didn't, you didn't feel that they really cared about you. They just thought you were another number. And compared to private school, it was a lot more, you know, they talked to you. They talked to you more. They felt that they, like, you cared. It wasn't so overcrowded. And also, you know, the teaching was a whole lot different. You felt it was smaller class sizes, so you felt that it was, you felt that you can learn better and learn more and get more out of your learning. But I really enjoyed going to, you know, private school. It was a lot better than public school. I went until I transitioned into public school into the, when I started in the 10th grade. Thank you.
Well, I'd like to know, as a black male and living your life in this skin as a black male, was it any different for you in the classroom when you were going to the private schools? What are some of the things that you noticed? I mean, you couldn't hide who you were. You're 6'4", and you walk in the classroom, you're a black male. Did you sense that at any point were you being singled out to respond to questions? Were you being given more responsibility or expected to perform differently? Just how was your experience in the private school setting? Can you relate that to me?
In the private school setting, I felt that my experience was, it felt a lot better because I felt like I could actually learn and it wasn't so many distractions such as, you know, stopping and getting disciplined. And I kid you not, in private school, discipline is strict, but I'll notice a lot in public schools, they'd rather just send you out in the hallway instead of deal with you while in class. So won't, you know, that right there just shows that they didn't want to deal with you, and it interrupts your whole learning process. So basically, you're not really getting anything out of going to school, period. And I also noticed being in private, being an African American in the in a public school, sometimes one of the only African Americans in the class, and it was, felt kind of, you know, felt like I was getting discriminatory towards. I also noticed in a private school that, you know, it was more, I felt more secure because a lot of things goes on in public schools that sometimes, you know, that they can't handle. The time I think I first went to public school was the 5th or 6th grade, and it was my experience, it was so crowded, you know, that I really couldn't get any learning process because there's so much stuff going on just outside of the classroom, and I felt like my part of my education was being taken away, and it felt like I was getting behind in learning what everybody else was learning. Well, I mean, I think I discovered my core learning in math and science probably in the 4th grade when I went to a Catholic school. I felt like my study habits and learning was almost like developed around that era when I was in 4th grade, you know, such as reading, English, and math and science. Well, a lot of, you know, I noticed like in the public schools, they thought that a lot of African Americans and minorities didn't have foundations for basic math and English skills. And I noticed that sometimes they'd rather just, you know, not spend time teaching and helping them, such as writing also in a public school. Because I felt sometimes I almost either had to teach myself how to cursive when it came to cursive, and my mom had to help do that because it seems like the public school teacher which was a Caucasian lady, did not want to deal with me and teach me how to do it. So she figured, you know, if I didn't get it that time, we'll just skip them and move on instead of stopping, you know, and helping me, you know, get the extra practice that I needed. And I also feel that a lot of African-American males had a hard time learning in a public setting because they were suspending or sending them to the principal's office or calling their parents left and right to a point where, you know, that they really couldn't even learn. Thank you.
We'd like to thank Terrell for that information he's given us. It gives us a better insight on what his opinion was rather than somebody else who has been out of school for a while. As we know that the black males are becoming the bald eagle in the class, slowly replacing the bald eagle because they are the new dying breed, and most black males don't live to get to be 25. And when Terrell's birthday came around and he passed the 25 mark, we really celebrated because we knew that he had made it through that threshold. And he himself knew that it was definitely something to mark. And we began to start talking about rites of passage. Both of my sons who were involved in rites of passage training, my younger son more so, who was involved in the rites of passage training and understanding about the Yoruba teaching, I had vowed to make sure that if they finished their education, that it was also important for me to take them back to class and to retrain them on the concepts of African initiation. Black men need to be initiated into something, and every point in their life, they need to know when they have marked the period of manhood, which is the rites of passage of transitioning out of high school into the community. They need to have a marking in their life, and even when they graduate from college, what is expected. And I'm going to asked Terrell to come back on to talk about his college years and what he experienced during the time he was in college, the stress and frustration and the pressures that are on you when you're trying to excel and to meet the criteria of the burden of carrying a load of 15 to 20 hours of coursework. I'm going to ask him to come back on and give us some input on that. Terrell, can you give me some input on what your college years were like?
Well, I figured my college years was probably, you know, tough, but I think I got through it because being that I had those installed study habits and learning habits installed in me. Because all I noticed in college, if you work real hard and do the homework and stay on top of everything and ask teachers for help and ask for extra studying time and let the teacher know that you actually care, you can make it. But if you're really nonchalant, not showing up to classes, not showing like you really want to be there, then you're not going to make it. Because compared to that, I went to a private, I guess, private Catholic college and a state school, university, I noticed a lot of difference in the professors. Some of them in the state school care. A lot of them didn't. And they didn't care if you, you know, got it or not, or, you know, they weren't willing to help you. I guess that was the way they taught their class. You either get it or you don't. Or sometimes I was even told that either, you know, you're gonna do good on the work or you're either gonna flunk or you're gonna have to drop the course. And I know, you know, that was kind of difficult. That was kind of difficult for me, you know, to hear. But I also noticed that my grades was almost a lot better in college than they were in high school. Because I think I got installed those study habits, and also being in athletics and basketball, that my grades went up, actually making me want to work harder. But it was a, you know, difficult experience being in college, but it was also fun. And I think I learned a lot of things in my profession that I wanted, you know, to actually go in. Well, my first major started off with computer graphics and design and technology. And I decided to switch it to organizational business management down the line. So thank you.
Terrell, I'd like to know, you did mention something about basketball or you had a sports background. Do you think that having sports in your life, engaging in extracurricular activity with community activities and playing organized ball in the community makes a difference in your life in the elementary, high school setting, or even in college? Do you think that that is a good factor?
I think any extracurricular activity is good in a factor around just around your general studies, because in the long run you might get burnt out and you won't have a lot of energy to release your stress on. Like growing up, I mean, you got baseball, you got football, you got different groups such as Awana or Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, or whatever. I mean, you also have to have activities based around your school, because you just go to school, 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 24 hours, say, oh, you want to get straight A's, I mean, you're going to feel left out also from being around your peers, because that's all you do is study. And in the long run, you're going to think you really didn't do much much constructive with your life besides just school. But, I mean, I was involved in a lot of things, gymnastics, tap dance, played viola, saxophone, all kinds of instruments, and also play baseball, football, and basketball. And I really enjoyed it, and I think it helped, you know, me get a foundation of academics and make me have a stronger base on in the social life. And also, I experienced being overseas and playing basketball also, and I think that was a great aspect of my life also. It gave me a whole different aspect of a round world and base and the foundations. Okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Terrell, for that input. I'm sure that a lot of the young listeners that are out there and young listeners, please come in the room with your parents and listen. We do have Terrell Garth in the audience who's talking about his career and experience as a youngster in high school and his school days. He's telling tales out of school and also about his experience in college. I do know that this is a very unique interview that I'm holding with Terrell, and I thank Terrell for allowing me to interview him. My sons were both engaged in pre-college programs initially when starting off to school. So they went to college with me as I was an adjunct professor at college, and they traveled to school with me and took classes while I was teaching in the pre-college program at Parkside University in Wisconsin there. So they had a very early start. Terrell attended for 5 years in the pre-college program, engaging in curriculum and summer programs, as well as engaging in programs that prepared him to go on for college. So this was a program designed for minority African-American children at the grade of fourth grade to show that they could prepare and be ready to go to college, a preparatory program, which was a fantastic program, which I had an opportunity to write curriculum for. At that particular time, I think that all of the homeschooling that I incorporated for them and taking them out of school to get their academics together. Each one of them had been homeschooled for a period of a semester. My youngest son homeschool was a little bit longer and a little bit more in-depth. I thought I would play around with his reading capacity and getting him books that were far more advanced than what he was. By the time he returned back to public school, he was reading at a went from a fourth grade level to a seventh grade level of reading. And they did want to give him a promotion, but I refused because socially he wasn't there. He still needed to be with his peer groups. And I always implemented one thing in my house, that everyone will study. So we had study time, so there was a study time incorporated in our lifestyle for the library. They knew us there like that was our second home, and they knew us by first name basis and knew the materials that we read and the books checked out. And every time we go to, we first thing we do is obtain our library card and become citizens there and activate our right as a paying taxpayer to utilize the library frequently on a regular and weekly basis. So they had good study habits, and I knew where my children were academically. So if I ever went in the classroom to talk about their grades, I knew exactly what the weaknesses were and the strengths were and knew how to challenge the teacher on homework assignments, which I knew were being turned in because they had to come through me first, the big coach. Now, I'd like to say this. I want to thank you for allowing me to be in your airways today. I want to thank you for allowing Terrell to come on to talk to you and tell you about his life. And we now know a little bit more about why education and what is the purpose of education. For African-American children, I will like to say this. It is more so important now. A lot of people died from slavery trying to learn to read. A lot of people did not get their opportunities to read. So whatever you do in getting knowledge and getting understanding, get the ability to compute and to read because it's very, very crucial. It's very important. And it is a reason that we're putting our children in school, but at the same time, they must gain something positive, teachers. You must offer them something more. You must give them a reason to take their learning to another level to make it a well-rounded connection of the world, not just connective work that has no significance, but not just rote learning, but learning that will benefit them and show them how they can be a part of the thing. And I am going to put on our music, and then I'll come back at you in the air. And once again, our number is 646-478-0270. And thank you very much for joining us this evening. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to talk my way on out of here. It seems as though that they have cut our part off for the music, but that's okay. I want to talk to you anyway. Thank you for listening. And Terrell, thank you so very much for your input. Terrell was so gracious to give me that interview. And Terrell was being a little modest. During the latter parts of his school year, it became a little rough and stressful upon him having to transition from different schools, and leaving the basketball arena was a great, great thrust for him. It devastated our whole family and even him to the point that he had to revamp and relook at his life again. We're now writing a book about what happened during that time, and I Come Apart. And Terrell and I are co-authoring that book where he can tell his own story. And you can await that book to hear what he has to say. And all the turmoil and trouble that he went through, I am very proud of him for pulling himself back together during that particular time when he was ill and in the hospital. He still went back and finished his degree. Sick or not, he went to those classes, and the teachers and the people that supported him were very pleased with the fact that he had excelled. And not only did he excel, he graduated in a distinguished area and graduating with recommendations from his counselor. He wanted education, and he knew the benefit of it, and he knew that it was something that was his, and he went after it. And I wanted to thank him because he knew that that education was going to make a difference for him. But he was one of the ones that came out in a city where there are very few jobs. So we're making our own way and creating our own contracted job. You don't have to be discouraged because there's not employment. Create your own employment. Become a contractor and work for yourself. And this is one of the things that his brother and him are now attempting to do. And they're young men. And I ask that you pray their faith and encouragement that they will go on and to be able to give something back to the community. And they have been trained well and taught well. It's most important to know that God is at the center of your life, and they know that spirituality comes first. And it's very important for mothers to get behind black men. And you may have to take them out of the public schools there. And you may have to look at securing them and protecting them and placing them in institutions where they can learn and get a good foundation, because they're certainly going to need it. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the institutions are filled now and prisons with young people who can't read. And because of this barrier, it's caused many problems for them. Not to say that they're ignorant or anything, but we want to offer them the opportunity to read. We want to get behind our young men, and we want to make sure they're stable. We want to make sure that they're steered away from penal institutions, and we want to make sure that we offer them an alternative lifestyle of becoming a strong, full-rounded man that's fit to be engaged in marriage and to be a family member. And I'd like to thank the listening audience for being a part of this show today. Very special time for me to interview my son about something that was so touching and near education and what it meant to him. And for me, this evening, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that we all can gain something from education. Don't walk away from education. Don't turn your back on it. But if you have to change schools and go into private settings or home schools, do that. I'm a public school teacher, but when it was necessary, I called my children and I brought them home and I sat home with them and I taught them. Because it's one thing that you have to be accountable for is the education of your children. You can't let the schools be accountable. And parents, if your children are struggling and they're not doing so well and you're sitting up in these high positions, take a sabbatical and go home and find out where you can send your children or be a part of their own, their learning yourself. But certainly don't let them to continue to fail and you're driving around and saying you're an administrator and your children are failing. Do something about it. Step in and be a real mother. And I'm saying that because one thing my children can say about me, I've never been an absent mother. Even if I had to work night shifts to be with them during the day, I did that. I paid my dues and made sure I was a parent and that my husband was present there to assist and engage in. I'm not a single parent. My sons still see their father and engage in activities with them, and it's very important to have both parents parenting. It's very important to have both parents involved in their life. My husband was very instrumental, a good example of what a good man should be for my boys. So they got a good foundation. And I expect for them to rise up and call us blessed one day. I expect for them to reach back into their cosmic record and remember the good character we put in them. I expect for them to conduct themselves that way. And I will stand with them on every side because we are family-oriented and we believe in our young men, no matter what they may go through. Whatever they go through, we're going to be there with them, and we're telling you, ladies, to be there with your young boys. They need you more so. Sometimes they need you to show them the way because they're going to have to catch hell being a black male here in this country. They're going to have to go through extraordinary things that your females won't have to go through. As a matter of fact, in the classroom, statistics shows that they are treated differently in the way that they're taught. So mothers, please, spend more time making sure your children are at the academic level they should be at. Make sure that you're involved in their learning and study habits. Make sure that you're part of teaching and admonishing. If you can't teach, find a tutor or bring somebody in that will. And once again, this topic was a very special topic because I know there's a lot of people out there contemplating this year, do I take my child out of public school? Do I put him in private school? Do I give him an opportunity to transition into college, or do I watch them fail and slip through the cracks? Mothers, I'm telling you, don't sit back and watch your children fail. If you know that they can't read, if you know that they can't compute and they need help and they need tutors, go and find the help that they need. And mothers, most of all, be a mother. Make sure they have study time. Develop their study habits. Don't just depend on the tutor to do all the work. Show your children how to study. And study with them. Let them see you read books. Let them see you engage in learning. Take them to college with you. Get them enrolled in pre-college programs. I know we can do it. I know we can do it. Remember, Omi said, let your light shine on the world. Remember, Omi said, let your light shine on the world. This is what I want you to tell your children. Look them dead square in the face and look them in the eyes and speak to them. And speak to their little souls and help those young brothers get into rites of passage program so they can transition properly into manhood. Sometimes some of them need a little bit more nurturing, and you have to keep them longer at home, and you have to speak into their lives more. And sometimes some of them need help and guidance. Don't be afraid. We have extended families now. Families are staying home with their other extended families longer. And we have to sometimes step in when those students come home from college and can't find employment. We have to be there. And don't think because they're grown now you have to separate yourself. Now is the time they need you the most. Be a parent. And as I tell my husband all the time, you never stop being a parent. You always show up in your children's life because it's important for them to have a connection to you. And ladies and gentlemen, this particular topic, I want you to not take it lightly, but to go back and look at what could you do different in your household. about study time. What can you do different about your child's grade point average if it's dropping? In this college, can you go over to the college and spend time with them in a dorm? You could do those things because you could make a difference in the way your child sees education. Let him have a good concept of why he's going to school, not just because mama told him so. Tell him that he's going to gain a well-rounded, balanced life out of it. Gives him ability to come back to the community and give something back. Now, mothers, I'm talking to the teachers as well. Teachers, we can do a lot more than what we're doing with these black males. We can make sure that they have a male in their life prior to them transitioning to fourth grade. We can see to it and lobby to make sure that we have more black males seeing male teachers in their lives so that they don't go on through life having women speaking into their lives all the time. I know this because sometimes my children get tired of hearing from me, and I have to ask for a male to take over to speak into their life. It's very important, mothers, even if you break up, separate from your husband, still keep a relationship with your husband's father and connect these children to their father so that they know what it means to have a male in their life. It's very important that you should learn to get along when it comes to parenting because it is important, and it's now mandated that you learn to parent together. So those of you who are saying, I'm a single parent, great. If you raised your child alone and you did a great job, pat yourself on the back. There's been many women coming right out of slavery. All they knew was raising their children alone when their husbands were somewhere off getting a job. But nevertheless, we still have an extended family. We still have a nuclear family. Even if it's just the children and you, mother, that's still your family. Don't let anyone tell you that you're abnormal because you're raising boys alone. Don't let anyone tell you that you have to put somebody in your life. You have to have a good role model and keep that young man connected to his father. Now, I want to say for the listening audience, you've been great. Thank you so much for going all the way with Omi. Now, let your light shine on the world. Omi said, let your light shine on the world. Omi said, let your light shine on the world. That's a little song that I've heard somewhere. I love that song. And at this particular time, because they've taken all the music away from us, I don't have a song for you to sing. So we can't go out without music. I'd like to say have a great day, and please join us tomorrow. Be here present and accounted for, and those new friends that are trying to find me, sign up for the room. Ask me if you can be a friend. Just ask me. I'll say yes. I'll say come on in. It's okay to be a friend, but I don't want people coming in causing trouble. So much for that. You have a great evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us all the way. And let your light shine on the world, Omi say now. Let your light shine on the world, Omi say now. Let your light shine on the world. Have a great day, O Doubles.